Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another episode of A Good Drop, where every other week or so we head over to jolly England and talk about something that is as British as a good cup of tea.
That's right. We are talking about the Pimm's Number One Cup.
Or Pimm's Number One for short.
Or just Pimm's.
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 Pimm's. I'm Stu.
I'm Michael.
Cheers.
Pimm's. We are here with our Pimm's Number One Cup, and yeah. I'm excited.
Me too. It's the Pimm's Number One Cup, essentially, is a cocktail that you have to build yourself.
Kind of, because it's based on the Pimm's Number One, and it is essentially a liqueur.
Yeah, but no one drinks it on its own, though.
No, it is not a thing designed to be consumed neat.
No.
That's for sure. So the number one, though, is a gin-based liqueur that also contains a mix of herbs and other secret ingredients. Now,
probably sugar.
A little bit of history here. Because Pimm's was first created in 1823 by Mr. James Pimm.
Oh, who'd have thunk it?
Yeah. The owner of a London-based oyster bar. And it was served in a type of highball known as a summer cup or house cup. And then eventually ended up being known as the Pimm's Number One Cup.
The summer cup or Pimm's cup looks a lot like a pint glass. Like a straight-walled pint glass that you see a lot in Australia.
Yeah, it's a Collins highball.
Well, basically,
you can serve. This is one of the few drinks you can actually serve in a Collins highball without worrying that you'll kill it.
True, that is true. It is a. It was one of those drinks that we all know and love that were originally designed as a health tonic, but of course, sold better as a party drink.
Yeah, because back in the 1820s, people were all about health and health tonics and...
What do you mean back in the 1880s?
Well, yes, I know that they still are. But, you know, the story was that Pimm's aided digestion.
Yeah.
I mean, there were a lot of things that were said to have aided digestion back in those days.
Yeah.
And I guess Pimm's was no exception. But in 1851, Pimm's actually introduced the number two and number three cups. Because it got very popular. Pimm's became very popular. And still within this one bar. And they began increasing production because they were getting orders from other bars for the Pimm's number one, number two, and number three cups. And then eventually moved to commercial scale production and sales in 1859.
It began to be drunk for pleasure as well as health. And Mr. Pimm soon sold the rights to use his name and the product to a guy called Frederick Sawyer. Further sales were soon made overseas in the rest of the British Empire because the news started to travel far and wide about this particular beverage.
Yes, it picked up, and of course the business was in fact sold again in 1880 to Horatio Davies. Who began a chain of Pimm's Oyster Bars, all around the world, all throughout the British Empire.
Yeah, Australia, and India, the Caribbean, and even Canada.
Yeah, and that same Horatio Davies would 10 years later go on to become the Lord Mayor of London. But that's just an aside.
How about that?
Yeah. Now, after World War II, Pimm's introduced the number four cup, the number five cup, and then in the 1960s, the number six cup. Now, the different cups had different alcohol bases. We've already mentioned that the number one had a gin base.
Number two was scotch.
And number three was a brandy base.
I don't know how well they would go, but you never know.
And number four was rum, number five was a rye whiskey base, and number six was a vodka base.
Why did they take so long to get to vodka, though?
Yeah, it seems like the next natural step after gin, because they're both quick and easy to produce.
Yeah, but the number three cup is apparently still around, but it has been rebranded as a winter cup.
Yes, that's right. In 2004, Pimm's introduced the winter cup, which consists of the brandy base number three infused with spices and orange peel.
Yeah.
Which sounds interesting. But let's take a step backwards through time again, back to the 70s and 80s. Because in the 70s and 80s...
The 1870s or
1970s? 1970s. Because in the 1970s, Pimm's fell on hard times. And, in fact, all of the oyster house... All of the oyster bars were sold. Whole chain.
Oh, wow.
Whole chain of oysters, all sold. All the bars, gone. And they ended up selling the brand again to the Distillers Company, who then proceeded to also drop cups number two and number three. As they just weren't popular. So they got rid of them to, you know, be focusing on producing the things that were selling better. And then in 1986, the Distillers Company was purchased by Guinness.
Huh. And who we should all know by now is owned by Diageo.
Well, yes. In 1997, when Guinness merged with Grand Metropolitan, Pimm's became a brand under the Diageo umbrella.
It's a big umbrella.
It is a big umbrella. And
it's an umbrella corporation, if you will.
Yes. And we've already mentioned what happened in 2004, so let's jump to 2014, when Pimm's did away with their second most popular, the number six cup, the vodka-based cup.
That's why I haven't seen that around. I've only ever seen Pimm's number one in Australia.
But the number six was reinstated again in 2015.
Of course it was.
After a successful campaign from fans of that particular version of the drink, until it was slowly and quietly phased out again.
Of course.
Despite the fact that Diageo had promised the people behind that campaign that they would always make the number six cup, it just
vanished. Yeah.
Just slowly faded away.
Unbelievable. They lied. Why would they lie? Business. Anyway, neither of us have actually had Pimm's before. So we have a Pimm's number one cup in front of us.
Oh, we should. We should also mention the Pimm's number seven.
The number seven?
Which doesn't actually exist, but is something that apparently some bartenders will make for you.
Oh.
And it is a Pimm's with tequila.
That could be very tasty or very gross.
Yes, hard to say since we haven't tasted Pimm's yet. And I thought that's why, say it now, before we've tasted Pimm's, because it leads into the tasting of Pimm's.
It does. It does. It's made with two parts lemonade or Sprite, if you're in the States, and one part Pimm's number one.
Three parts.
It be three parts?
Three parts lemonade.
Oh, shit. It's made with three parts lemonade and one part Pimm's, and of course, topped up with oranges and strawberries.
Yes, and that can be in any volume you like. They suggest that you can do 2 liters of lemonade to one bottle of Pimm's. And now we are ready to try our Pimm's number one cups. We are excited. It is time.
Yeah.
Because I couldn't even find tasting notes for this.
Me neither. Like, everyone either assumes you've had it or you're about to have it and you can drink it anyway. You'll find out when you taste it.
Yeah, so no one's going to tell you what it tastes like. Well, we are, dear listeners. We are going to tell you what it tastes like.
Yeah.
If we can manage to describe it.
Should be able to. We've got experience on this one. So smell wise, smells citrusy.
Yeah, citrusy, fruity. Smells like orange.
Yeah,
that may well be the orange.
Yes, oranges and the strawberries. Just
rotating my glass so that I don't have the piece of orange directly under my nose as I smell it.
But I don't have a piece of orange directly under my nose, and it still smells very orangey, like citrusy. Not so much orange, like totally orange, but maybe like grapefruit or something like that.
Yes, I just got a hint of that myself.
Perhaps a hint of juniper?
Well, there is that gin base there. And we know that there are herbs and, you know, spices and secret ingredients.
But yeah, mostly I can smell the lemonade and the orange.
Yeah, it just smells really fruity. Mm.
Shall we taste?
Yes, let's.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Gingerly clink the glasses.
Well, they say it's easy to drink, and it is.
I can barely taste it. There's so much lemonade. I need another sip.
Yeah, that is a heck of a ratio. Because, yeah, 3-1 does really... Oh, I'm getting a bit of it now.
Yeah, you need a couple of sips to really taste what's there. I'm definitely tasting a little bit of like raspberry flavors, a little bit of grapefruit.
Yeah, it's...
It's very subtle.
Very fruity, very subtle, very easy to drink. That I was able to find, that it's refreshing and easy to drink.
Good thing it was pretty hot today then.
Yes.
It's a English summer today. Windy and 24.
Yes, we're an Australian winter. Though, we're on the edge of winter, we're on the back
end. It's spring.
Now.
It's spring here, my friend.
Yes, spring has sprung, you are correct.
But still, it's going to get much, much hotter here. And this is a perfect drink for a hot day. I really like it. You know what, Mickle? I think I don't think there's any sugar in it because the lemonade doesn't taste sweet.
You aren't correct.
It just twigged.
Yeah, I have the feeling that there may not be any sugar. And naturally, it doesn't tell us on the bottle. There's just lots of secret ingredients.
Well, definitely less sweet than the lemonade.
Yes, it has taken some of the sweetness away from the lemonade. But I would expect that the orange may have done that to some extent as well.
But we didn't really juice them. I just dropped a couple of slices in.
Yeah, but we've got the rind is there. It's sitting in there. We've got the strawberries in there.
I guess.
I mean, it's all going to have its effect.
It all adds. And you should be drinking your Pimm's with orange slices and strawberry slices. Basically with fruit and mint.
Yes.
And... I mean, this is not the only way to drink it, though. There are other variations. People drink it with ginger beer instead.
Yes, that's true. And they drink it while watching the tennis. We are not watching tennis at the moment, but you could drink it while doing that.
Maybe we could put on some Wii tennis. That counts, right?
Yes, I'm sure it does. It's still tennis.
Yeah. Just played poorly.
Yes, because Wimbledon has... Was it the first Pimm's bar was at Wimbledon?
Was at Wimbledon.
And specifically Pimm's bar, sitting outside in the... Well, I wouldn't say hot, but hot English sun.
Pimm's is apparently a colloquialism in the jolly old UK. Phrases like Pimm's o'clock is apparently everyone knows what you mean. Like in Australia, you would say, is it beer o'clock yet?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
And I said that the other the other day, someone said to me, home time, and I said, yep, beer o'clock. And he looked at me strangely, and it was then that I realized that...
He's not from around
here. He's not from around here. And didn't get what I was meaning.
Yeah.
By beer o'clock, thought that meant it was time for beer. I mean, by pure coincidence, I was in fact going to the bar for a beer, but I could have said it anyway.
Yeah. Hmm. Well, I would say a Pimm's cup, Pimm's number one cup, is basically a summer cocktail.
Yeah.
It's refreshing, but not icy cold like you'd have a daiquiri or something like that.
Yes. No, I don't think you'd want this to be icy cold. And it's not really... I mean, you can sip on it, but it goes down so easily and it's so refreshing, you don't really want to sip on it.
Yeah.
And I guess what we haven't mentioned yet is the alcohol content, because we would normally mention that.
Yeah, it's only 25%.
Yeah, only 14 standards in the whole bottle.
So, for Australian standards, it's quite pricey for what you get.
But it's an import.
Yeah.
In Australia.
And it's exactly what you expect.
Is it an import?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
This is bottled in Australia for the Pimm's Company by Diageo Australia.
Bottled in Australia?
Using local and imported ingredients.
Wait, what?
Mm. Oh. So, no, this is Australian.
So they make it in Australia.
They make it here.
Wow.
So the Australian Pimm's is made in Australia.
So our Pimm's is going to taste different.
Probably, because it would contain some Australian ingredients.
Well, even Australian water.
Yes, so it will taste different in much the same way that... Well, I won't say in much the same way that Australian Guinness tastes different from Irish Guinness.
Because, it does taste different.
Oh, it does.
Yeah.
But Irish Guinness, it's not just about the water with the Guinness, though. It's there's a lot more to it. Irish Guinness is stronger.
I really want to try Irish Guinness one day. That's unfortunate. I was hoping we would get the OG Pimm's.
Yeah, which raises the question, why is it so expensive when it's made here?
Yeah.
Because normally if it was imported, it would say that it was imported by whichever import company.
Yep.
But it's
using
not.
Using local and imported ingredients.
Yeah.
There you go. I kind of haven't got anything else.
Yeah, and I realize we haven't actually managed to describe what it tastes like. We've described what it smells like. We've said it's refreshing.
Yeah.
And it's easy to drink.
And it's less sweet than lemonade.
And less sweet than lemonade, yeah.
Perhaps we need to pour a little into some shot glasses and sip it that way, just so we know what it is, what it tastes like on its own. So we can describe what flavors it adds to your lemonade or Sprite or ginger beer.
Yeah, just drinking it like this, even with a big mouthful, I kind of guess why it is that there are no tasting notes for this anywhere.
Because it doesn't have much flavor on its own.
It's just really fresh and light and fruity. But I feel as though it would probably taste fresh and light and fruity if... Pimm's wasn't even in there, and it was just lemonade with strawberries and orange in it.
I think you might be onto something, Mickle. Maybe we just skip the Pimm's entirely.
So you were onto a good idea with tasting the Pimm's by itself.
It's not the first time we've done it either.
No, so that we can describe what the thing tastes like, and perhaps then. Because the 1-3 is, of course, a ratio that they suggest. But if you like the flavors of the Pimm's...
Maybe you have 2-1 or 1-1.
Yeah.
Like my dad likes his martinis. 1-1, I think it is. No, he likes a reverse martini, like one part gin, two to three parts vermouth. But he freeze pours them, so who knows what ratio it ends up being. Bloody potent.
Sounds like it.
All right. We have...
Ooh, now that smells interesting.
Mm.
was we You're have right. yeah straight Pimm's in a little cup, and it smells really interesting.
It smells like gin, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah.
Big surprise.
It smells an awful lot like gin, but gin with something extra. It's like it's gin with DLC.
Gin with DLC. I love it. Yeah. So definitely a lot of extra herbs and spices, and it is far milder on the gin smell than a regular gin would be. Also, plus it's only 25%.
Yes. Yeah, so naturally it also doesn't have that, like, any...
nostril searing.
Yeah, there's no ethanol smell to it whatsoever.
A little. Which you would, a tiny bit.
Barely noticeable compared to what you'd get from even the finest of gins.
Yes. Oh, for sure. Yeah, it still doesn't really have much flavor on its own, I think. But we need to taste it. Cheers.
Yes. Cheers.
I was right on the lack of sweetness.
Yeah. It's got a bit more bitterness than I expected.
I'm still not getting much bitterness at all. But it does have a little bit of grapefruit. Well, a little bit of citrus. Very much gin.
Yeah.
But more herbs.
Yes, and there's a slight burn and a slight warmth, and you don't get either of those once you've mixed the lemonade with it.
I can see why they suggest mixing it.
Yeah, though, I mean, you miss some of the subtleties of it as well. I think I would probably mix it in a higher ratio of Pimm's to try and save some of the flavors that have been drowned out.
Yeah. I think it, whatever we've got, adds, like, that, so we mixed it 60 mils of Pimm's to 180 mils of lemonade. And I think that's a pretty good ratio because it's strong enough to make its presence known, but not too strong to be prominent, I suppose. It definitely adds something to the lemonade, but doesn't change it too much.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I don't think I'd adjust the ratio by much. Like, I think I'd probably take it from a 1:3 to a 1:2. But, yeah, at any rate, it's, even by itself, it's not awful.
No. It's not great, but not bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And by itself, I see, like, by itself, it reminds me of a lot of those other digestive drinks that popped up around the 1800s.
Yep. Very herby.
Yeah.
And a little bit bitter.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then they went, well, let's mix it and make it more palatable.
Yeah.
And more popular.
Indeed. So, there's only one thing left to do, Mikkel, and that is to bottle cap rate this drink. This brand new beverage we've never had before.
Yes. And I feel like it almost requires two bottle cap ratings.
Two?
By itself and in the number one cup mix.
I don't know if I can give it a bottle cap rating by itself. It's just a non-starter.
Well, and that's kind of my point, that by itself...
It's really ordinary.
It's like a 2 or a 3.
Yeah.
But mixed in the ratio that they suggest, or in a variation thereof that suits your palate, I'd probably be more inclined to give it a 7 or an 8. It's very refreshing, very easy to drink.
Yeah, and it does add to the drink. It's a nice cocktail, And one I'd probably have again. So, yeah, I'd give it a 7 or an 8.
Well, there we go. We've agreed on one.
Yeah. Definitely interesting. I'm glad we did this episode.
Yes, as am I. And now, the plugs.
Plugs. So, if you liked what you heard, everyone, be sure to hit that subscribe button if you haven't already. We are A Good Drop, all about alcohol, on your favorite podcast app, including Stitcher, Spotify, Podbean, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and many more.
And you can find us on Facebook and Instagram as A Good Drop Podcast.
And if you want to check out our giant library of previous episodes, jump on our website, agooddrop.com.au. Or if you've got any comments, questions, feedback, if you have a favorite Pim's cocktail you want us to know about, send us an email to agooddrop@gmail.com.
And do be sure to tune into our next episode.
It's a celebration.
It is. We are talking about occasional drinks. Drinks for occasions.
Drinks. Occasional drinks. Occasional drinking. Yeah. You know, when people smash a bottle of champagne against the side of a ship.
Well, that's part of the episode. You can't say that now. Now people don't need to listen next time. The trailer has ruined the whole thing.
No, that's not the case. Like, why do they do that, though?
Whole story in the trailer.
We'll tell you guys why these things happen next time. Cheers.
Cheers.